I'm grinding, that currency coming, I'm sexing the money. I'm shining, I'm certainly stunning, them bros call me cunning. I know they don't know me, but after my show and they tell me it's nothing. Tomorrow ain't promised, I live my life honest with no interruptions. Fuck repercussions, I'm living and learning, working and earning and sharing my sermon.
King showing up to the podcast looking like the Jabberwockies. You gonna do some choreographed dances for us, bro? To the listener, King just started doing choreographed dances. So what's the name of that character that you're the mask of? It's B for Vendetta. I forget.
I just thought it was like the anonymous people.
It's like an actual person from British history or something. Remember the 5th of November.
Guy Fox.
That was it. Yep.
I thought it was just the guy who was like, "And I will scramble your MySpace page if you do not comply."
Yeah, it's also that guy.
You have been warned.
Yeah, remember to log out of your Facebook, or else he's gonna steal all your information.
Your Meta.
Yeah,
is what it's called. I will say, I've had this mask on for like 2 minutes. It's very hard on the eyes because I got real long eyelashes. Like, they're trying to like find the light and grow out.
You know, that's something they don't really address in superhero movies or anything, is how annoying it would be to wear a mask all the time. Like, imagine Iron Man, especially. He flies around. He's doing all this stuff with his helmet on. I don't care how well you are at, like, how good you are at designing things, like how good of an engineer you are. It's going to be annoying.
Like, hey, Rip Hamilton wore one for like 10 years.
That's because his face was going to fall apart if he took an elbow to it.
Did Jim Carrey actually wear a mask in The Mask? I'm asking, like, seriously. I feel like that was just like a facial reconstruction. Mm-hmm. I feel like that wasn't a real mask.
Yeah, it was probably green screen type situation where he literally wore green paint on his face and then they digitally did it after. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
Somebody stop him.
Somebody stop us from having this conversation.
Smoking.
There you go. So you were carving pumpkins tonight, I saw.
I was.
How'd that go?
I carved the shit out of some pumpkin.
Attaboy. So, attaboy.
You know.
Any pumpkin carving casualties there?
Yeah.
No, not this year. I did not cut my wrist on accident this year and go to the hospital for stitches and get asked if I'm having a happy home life. So that was a win because that was a very funny situation.
I was going to say, you guys are sort of prone for the injury these days.
Yeah.
The squad.
Yeah.
So good job avoiding that. Yeah. When was the last time you carved a pumpkin, Ski?
Oh, man.
Ski for the listener, no children.
So 25 years ago?
I was going to say, so Ski is not longer? Forced to carve pumpkins like we are.
30 years ago?
Do you hand out candy?
Oh, no. I stick a bowl out there, and if some little fucker steals them all, hey, sucks for them.
Yeah,
I've had dogs all my life, and the Halloween is the worst for a dog that barks at fucking anything it hears. I'm not having them fucking knock and ring my doorbell, you know, 20, 30 times a night. Fuck that.
I'm surprised you even put the bowl out if you're worried about the dogs, because people are walking up to the front step. Like,
I put it only far enough away that
okay,
you shouldn't hear it.
Just put it near the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Hey, you live in South Eugene, right?
Yep.
You're going to have like deer coming up and taking all your candy. Who knows?
Turkeys.
Yeah, probably those turkeys.
There's definitely a lot of turkeys.
What's the game plan this year, King? Like for trick-or-treating? You guys, you letting the kids?
No. Nope.
Letting the kids do it?
No, we're going out of town. And part of that is a early
I see what you're doing.
Afternoon yeah. Halloween party, family friendly. But so by the time we get back to town, there will be no trick or treating in our.
And hopefully they will have forgotten about it. And
my oldest is too old. He's in sixth grade. He can't be trick or treating anymore. He's a punk.
He's gonna be out there causing havoc.
Yeah. No. It's gonna be That's just all bad news.
Yeah, sixth graders are the ones out there egging places, or they're the bullies stealing candy from the little kids. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for another, you know, 2 or 3 years, then it's you're getting wasted. That's what all
I know. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Are you doing the trick or treat thing this year?
I do not handle Halloween. I never have. My ex is a big fan of Halloween. I have never really cared. And my kiddo loves it. She's way into it. So I always just I ceded Halloween in the divorce agreement. It was literally in the paperwork. I was like, I don't care about it. It's yours. Have it. And this year they're not doing trick or treating, obviously, because it's not safe. But I know she has like three cousins, and they're all doing something over there. I'm not involved in the planning of it on purpose. So there was one year a few years ago where I decided that I wanted to just, like, you know, just be a part of it because it seemed like they were doing something fun. And so I got my daughter and I dressed up as Mario and Luigi together, and that was solid. It was fun. But yeah, I just, in general, I do not care about Halloween. I will put out the bowl if I remember to buy candy. And by the way, bags of candy are not cheap. So if you want to do anything nice
thanks,
for kids,
Biden.
Which will right
Biden's supply chain interruption. Say what?
Hunter Biden's America. But like if I'm gonna put out candy, I'm not gonna go cheap, right? And so I don't want to have my place egged and TP'd, because that's what happens if you put out the crappy candy. And
you're out there with Baby Ruth and Butterfingers. Yeah. Yeah. You're getting potato guns and flares and all that shit.
Dude, if you put out raisin boxes, your car is going to get hit.
Hot take. Yeah. I kind of like raisinettes.
Well, that's because you're old.
I wouldn't say I haven't bought one. I haven't tasted one in at least 20 years. Yeah. But if someone gave me raisinettes, I'd be like, yeah, it's not bad. It's like yogurt.
The memory of the raisinette is definitely holding you to that.
I don't even know if they still make raisinettes, to be honest. Sure,
I think they might only sell them at movie theaters. Like, that's the only.
I was just going to say, movie theaters are holding raisinettes together.
How is this guy? This guy for the Cardinals seems like he should be a DB for the Ducks, just getting fucking abused every play, which means he'll have an interception here because he's getting abused for the entire game.
He's going to get two interceptions, yeah. Should we just jump into the Ducks? Because
sure.
I kind of feel like venting a little bit about it.
Oh, let's do it. Let's vent.
Well, it's not.
By the way, but can I take a timeout? I gotta step outside and spark one up because I gotta smoke that Chip Kelly pack. Can you see what I'm spelling with that smoke? It's a loser. Chip Kelly's a loser. His time has passed him by. Chip Kelly's a relic. All you Oregon fans who want Chip Kelly, losers.
Yeah, the
proceed.
The Chip Kelly ship sailed a long time ago in terms of him being a driving force in the sport. I think that ended in with my NFL team, actually.
That stop isn't fair to pin on Chip. he just took a paycheck. He had no chance.
So I guess the biggest problem I'm having this week, and you know, I'm saying this as somebody who for the last like 3 or 4 weeks has ragged on Anthony Brown and talked about how the team has not been as good, you know, been playing down to the competition, you know, not been playing up to their potential. And, you know, that is our take. That is the way we've talked about this team over the last like month or two. I have a problem with this one because, yes, Anthony Brown threw two horrible interceptions at the end of the game. But Oregon just beat UCLA. Like, UCLA is the best team on the rest of Oregon's schedule by far. Maybe, you know, Oregon State might give them trouble, if I'm being completely honest. I'm a little bit afraid of Baylor, if I'm being completely honest.
Say hello to our Bryles.
But they, yeah, not that Baylor. But they won on the road against a good team. UCLA is not great, but they're good. And Oregon beat them. They came back from a 14-point like deficit and won the game. What do you want from your team? You want them to win games, right? Is that what we're looking for? Oregon is 6-1 right now. Oregon should be 7-1 right now. But they had a game. They had a game stolen from them by the officials. And by the way, I hate being that guy, but they fucking did. So Oregon should be undefeated right now. They're not, but they're 6-1. They just beat UCLA and looked pretty good for most of the game doing it. Anthony Brown looked really good for three and a half quarters. He looked really good.
Two quarters.
Okay.
Second and third quarter were amazing. If that was Anthony Brown we would have seen all year, there would be no debate about how good this Ducks team is.
Yeah. I tell you what, before we get into how Brown played, I just want to say I have been seeing Oregon fans on Twitter making the argument for Ohio State. Like the argument that Oregon should be ranked behind Ohio State, even though they have the same record. Ohio State's strength of schedule is trash, and Oregon beat them head to head on the fucking road. Oregon fans should not be making that argument. Like, Oregon fans are supposed to support Oregon. Like, I get being rational. I get using facts, all that good stuff. But you're not using facts. You're using your emotions. You're using your hatred of Anthony Brown to root against your team. Like, this is you talking against your team that you're supposed to be, like, a graduate from and a supporter of. What are you doing?
Like, I am glad you brought that up. And before I get into my greater point, I just want to drop a couple stats. Oregon's strength of schedule through 8 weeks, 7 games, 15th in the nation.
That's good, guys.
Their strength of record, which is kind of a fake stat, but hey, ESPN, whatever. 12th in the nation.
Good, guys.
They beat Ohio State, who is also 6-1.
Arguably one of the best wins in the history of the program, guys.
And Ohio State strength of schedule, 92nd in the nation.
Oregon,
yes,
Oregon
that will improve.
Oregon is their strength of schedule, period.
And their strength of record, again, fake stat. ESPN made it up a couple years ago, is 20th. So there isn't a metric when you... And I'm not a big, like, I think analytics in college football can be a little wonky because there's 130 teams. It's not like the NFL. There isn't a metric out there that's even really close. And Oregon went into Columbus, and without the best player in college football, Noah Sewell, and a little bit of Brandon Dorlus, 100% in the first half, spooked Ryan Day out of running the ball with a 5-star freshman running back who is averaging like 9 yards a carry this year. Noah Sewell scared Ryan Day away from ever running the ball in a meaningful situation. So yes, they passed for 500 yards, whatever. Oregon kicked the shit out of Ohio State on both lines of scrimmage. And yesterday, a week before ESPN does their first CFP show, all the ESPN personalities were out there, like Heather Dinich, like Mike Golic Jr., all of them, preparing you for why Ohio State will be ranked ahead of Oregon if they both win. because head to head doesn't matter. You put the committee in a room and they say, who's going to win tomorrow? No, Ohio State. Okay, well, we watched that game. Oregon beat them, and the score was only a 7-point difference. So a Buckeye fan can tell me, oh, it was close. They won by 7 in your house, and they beat your ass on the lines of scrimmage with a subpar quarterback.
I'll follow up to that and say that most of the Ohio State fans I have seen have not been making that argument.
Good.
Most of the ones I have seen are like, yeah, dude, you guys beat us. Like, our strength of schedule is not that good. Like, we lost that game. Whether or not, you know, it's whether or not we beat you now is kind of irrelevant because you did beat us in the game we played. And so I don't know. I know what you're talking about because I've seen the ESPN people and I've seen them, you know, like getting out ahead of why they're picking Ohio State. I don't know that the playoff committee will pick Ohio State. I guess that will remain to be seen. I was kind of wondering about that because Oregon has been ranked, you know, below Ohio State for the last few weeks, just in the rankings. But you know, history shows us that the playoff committee does not care about those rankings. I mean, they sort of take them into account because they're gonna coincide a little bit just based on win loss record. But I don't think the playoff committee cares about that. Oregon is coming off a win against a good UCLA team.
If you want to make the argument for Ohio State in what, like 4 or 5 weeks when they would have to beat 3 top 20 teams.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to me after they beat Michigan, right?
Exactly. Once that happens, all right, then the argument could come, all right, maybe even though they lost to the Ducks, they have a better, you know, overall resume at the end. But as of right now, they have beat nobody. And the fact that like King was saying, that they're prepping everyone for the inevitable, you know, both one loss teams, Ohio State gets in. It's kind of chicken shit, but you know it's going to happen. If both teams end up with one loss, you know they're going to put Ohio State in ahead of them.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But to do it right now is just such a chicken shit thing to do.
And that's my thing, is let it play out.
Exactly.
You know, I've seen some, you know, ESPN, I think it was like, well, Joel Klatt, who's like Fox. He's like, oh, well, I don't think Oregon's going to win out. Okay, cool. That's great. I'm not sure if they will either. But as of now...
Yeah, if they do...
They have the same record, and one team went to the other team's place and beat them. Sounds dramatic. I get it. It sounds dramatic, and I'm being, you know, Homer or crybaby. I get it. I totally get it.
No.
But if the CFP playoff week one comes out next Tuesday or whatever day it is now, and both teams are 7-1, which they should be, barring disaster, and Ohio State is ahead of Oregon, it's literally just, why play these games?
Yeah.
Why should Oregon go to Atlanta to play Georgia next year? Because it won't matter. It's not a tiebreaker.
Back out. Cancel it. Yeah.
Let it play out. Just let it play out. And if Oregon loses a couple times, fine. But you can't start it out with a team with Ohio State ahead of them. You can't.
Haven't we been saying this since we restarted this podcast, that there is no reason to play these out of conference games?
I've been saying that forever.
And this is just proving it even more right now.
Yes.
There is less than 0% chance Oregon is left out if they win the rest of their games. There is no way on God's green earth that Oregon gets left out.
Let's say Alabama beats Georgia, so they both have one loss. You know, that's how they end it, one loss. They're going to take those two, and they're going to take a Big Ten team, and Oklahoma is somehow going to backdoor their way into an undefeated record. I don't see. And then Cincinnati, if they're undefeated, I mean, they're.
Yes. Cincinnati is the whole like extreme wild card here.
They're the ones that I could see getting fucked.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I'm just saying the way this season has gone, the Oregon's, you know, like Oregon's loss coming the way it did with, you know, their offensive coordinator being in the hospital the night before the game, the horrible penalties that everybody on earth says the holding call in the end zone was a horrible penalty, including people who watch, like people on the playoff committee, all that good stuff. Everybody feels that way. I just think if everything goes the way it's been going, Oregon ends up, with the one loss. I don't see them not getting in. But I also am not sure Oregon ends the season with one loss.
But so would this we'll not see. let's say Oregon does have one loss and they get left out? Would that not change Mario?
I literally
know that he needs to win games like convincingly instead of just these mud bowl games that every fucking week seems to be.
No, I would do what King was talking about. I would cancel the Georgia game immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately, there's no. Yeah. I would back out of every non-conference contract I have and sign a deal with Portland State tomorrow.
Yeah, just be a petulant child about it.
Absolutely.
We're a long ways away from that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, like, why would anybody waste their time playing big non-conference games?
And can I, so we're West Coast fans, we're Pac-12 fans. If you're listening to this as one of the 47 people that do, you're a Pac-12 fan as well, to some degree. I will say one thing that does kind of annoy me is, since college football is a beauty contest, right? And it's the loudest voice that often wins if it's a tiebreaker on records.
Yeah.
There's like two like really prominent voices. Well, I guess Stuart Mandel and whatever, but there's like John Wilner, who is, you know, whatever. And like Dan Rubenstein from the Solid Verbal, right? Who went to Oregon, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of get why Dan downplays Oregon all the time, because he doesn't want to look like a homer on a fantastically successful national podcast. I get it. But like, I almost feel like we feed into our own, like, we suck stuff. When every week I listen to the Solid Verbal and Dan Rubenstein's like, Oregon's not good. Or I click on a John Wilner thing. He's like, Stanford didn't get away with a single penalty there. There's no one in the nation who thinks that was not holding or targeting or roughing. That was great calls. And as we chronicled a month ago, every neutral party in America mm-hmm. was like, those were all shitty calls. We're going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
But people on the West Coast have to take a hint from like the Paul Feinbaums and the really strong like Midwest Big Ten radio voices to just bang the drum. You got to bang the drum. Oregon, like we said, they went into Columbus and won. And you want to know what? Prominent voices on the West Coast dismissed it already. Mm-hmm. So that does not help us when Heather Dinich and Joel Klatt are like, Oregon, they can't. They're number 12, you know.
Oh, if this Duck team was in the SEC or Big Ten right now, you would be hearing what we're saying loud and proud out of the conference, out of the team. Oh, just.
I mean, that win against Cal, that win against Arizona, that win against UCLA. Hey, you want to know what they're doing? They're grinding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. That goes back to my original point. Oregon has been playing against their own fans for most of this season.
Oh, totally. Like,
Oregon's fans have been hate watching, and I'm guilty of it too. Hate watching the team, actively talking shit about the team while the games are going on, and they're winning. Oregon is 6-1. You know what? 6-1 fans of the 6-1 team. Try being a fan of the fucking 49ers right now. Try being a fan of the Chiefs right now, right?
Woo-hoo. Two Ruffy fucking 4-4, baby.
Two fucking
big Monday
wins.
Night game against the Giants.
Jesus.
4-4.
For some reason, they're still putting the Niners and the Bears on TV this week. I'm sorry, Nation. I'm sorry. You have to watch Jimmy Garoppolo. I apologize. By the way, I'd like to go quickly, because we're not going to talk about the 49ers beyond this, quickly on record saying Ski doing some live play.
You have some money on this game, bud.
I know.
Maybe.
Your eyes told me you got some money.
Running Arizona, the ball with
Arizona Green Bay
left.
Happening right now. Did you see interception in the end zone? Sure did. Saw interception in the end zone. Green Bay is going to win. right in front of a really sad Arizona fan. Anyway, so I just want to put it on record. I'm done with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm over him. That game last week was truly, truly terrible. I realize it was raining, but I feel like at this point in the season with a 49ers record, the way it is and the way he's playing, Trey Lance the rest of the way. I'm cool with it. Let's have it. Okay.
Good with Trey.
I'm officially on record. Well, mostly because there's no chance they're going to make the playoffs. And so if there's no chance, you might as well throw the rookie in there the rest of the way. And by the way, the rookie's not healthy because 49ers players get injured no matter who they are.
How the hell is my feed so far behind?
I'm watching Fox Natural.
I'm watching Fox proper.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard this. Like I got buddies up in Portland, and I watch the game at the same time as they do on my HD antenna, and I'm like 10, 15 seconds ahead of their content.
I thought you were joking about the pick.
No.
I thought you were just trying to be a dick.
No.
It's literally just on.
Yeah, so I'm like, weird. I'm like 20 seconds ahead of you. We're in the same town, watching the same channel. It's my HD antenna, dog. It's just better technology.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah. You know? I got it. Damn.
Yeah, you got on your soapbox about Comcast last week, and you know, big Comcast stan over here.
If that's another team in green and yellow there in the end zone, they call defensive pass interference.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
They call hold a grab right there.
100%. Okay, let's get back to the UCLA game. And by the way, just kind of my final thought, I guess, on the fan thing is like, just be better. You know, your team is 6-1. Be better. Like, be an advocate for your team right now, because no one else is. Like, the nation is not going to look out for your team. Your team just came off a really good win against UCLA. Be an advocate for them. Be happy that they are winning. Be happy that your team is winning. Don't be upset with the way your team is playing. Yes, they're playing like trash sometimes. Yes, the quarterback could be better. Absolutely. But they're winning. That's what you're supposed to do in college football, period.
Okay. Before we hop back into the UCLA game, since you did your Niners take, I'm going to do my Chiefs take.
Yes, please.
Listen. I was saying the defense is trash. It's bad. They're not going to win any meaningful games in the playoffs. They might win one.
My Super Bowl winning pick, by the way, on the podcast. Your Chiefs.
Yes, I know. Right. The defense is so bad. It's not going to matter in the long run.
Yeah.
But I've been saying, they have bad turnover luck. And I was starting to be like, man, am I just out on a limb here? And then I heard Mina Kimes, I dare you to tell me Mina Kimes isn't smart about football. I dare you. But she has said, Patrick Mahomes has 7 passes this year that have hit a wide receiver's hands in a catchable radius that have been intercepted in a catchable radius, and 5 of them have been intercepted. Bad turnover locks, what she said. So I believe it. Say, hey, we are going to turn it around. It doesn't matter, though. The defense is so bad. They might win a wild card game. It doesn't matter. But on to UCLA.
You know, the fun thing you can fall back on is that you have Patrick Mahomes.
But the defense is so bad, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, in 2018, the defense was awful, but it was awful where they were like, we gave up 24 to 26 points a game. Now it's awful where it's like, hey, the Titans just dropped 27 on your dick in the first quarter.
Yeah, but you're like 4 months away from the season being over and signing some good defensive free agents and fixing that. The 49ers drafted their future quarterback who has not been good yet, and their current quarterback is garbage. And so and everybody keeps getting hurt, and they gave a 10-year contract to like a 34-year-old offensive tackle. So I don't know. They're talking about firing my head coach. They're not talking about
firing Shanahan. Get out of here.
Yeah, I know.
Get out of here.
Okay, yeah. So UCLA.
Should we start with Brown
or what? Okay, what?
No, just in general, before we get into the minutia. Are we done being like, it's a close game? I know Oregon's gonna lose. Are we done with that?
All they do is win.
Because Anthony Brown doesn't inspire confidence. Well, that was different.
It was.
But like, I feel like Mario is pretty grossly good at these stupidly ugly close games.
Close games that aren't supposed to be close. Yeah.
All of them. I think the stat I saw today was that Mario is 5 and 15 covering it.
Yeah.
Home. Yeah.
I have said a couple times this year, early in games, and UCLA was no different. This game is over. Like, Oregon's going to lose. I thought down 14-0. I'm like, there's no chance Oregon wins this game. And then sure enough, the second and third quarter, they dominated UCLA. Dominated UCLA. And then fourth quarter, the defense continued to dominate UCLA.
But... and
Anthony Brown threw two very questionable play passes. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So Anthony Brown finishes 29 of 39, 296, no touchdowns, but Travis Dye ran for like 4 1-yard touchdown runs in a row. 2 interceptions, 6 carries, 85 yards, and a rushing touchdown for Anthony Brown. He played, so Ski says 2 quarters. I say like 3 quarters, 3.5 quarters of really good football. And then Houston or Hudson.
Hudson, yeah. Hudson, Hudson on that fumble.
He fumbled the ball, and it totally turned their offense around. All of a sudden, Brown throws that horrible pass into like quadruple coverage in the middle of the field. Like, that is such a bad throw.
That was he threw it into the NFL red zone, Scott Hansen quad box.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go to the quad box. Yeah. Anthony Brown throwing into it.
And he had somebody so open. I think it was like Pittman or something, like so open on that play. And then the second one, which
the one in the end zone was just a bad, you know, just he underthrew it a little bit.
So I'm not even really upset with the play call. There was like 3 minutes left. It was, I believe it was second down and short. And then, but I'm upset with the, clearly the decision by Brown to throw that ball was stupid, but I think the message, and I'm wondering if, you know, if Moorhead's actually on the sideline, if he's able to actually talk to Brown and say, hey, if it's not open, don't throw it. Like, just tuck it. If you have to take a sack, that's fine. We keep the clock rolling. It's like 3rd and 5 or 6 after a sack. That's fine.
That's an NFL play call there. 2nd and 1. Yeah. On the, like, was like the 40 or, you know, 35, something like that.
See if the shot's there. And if it is, you take it. If it's not, then you.
He was there. You miss out of the backside of the end zone. You don't miss on the front side of the end zone there.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Just the placement of the ball was so bad, too. And so, I mean, all he really had to do, and because, you know, he did throw the bad pass. If he had been told, if it's not there, tuck it and run, he had lots and lots of room to run. Like, it was. It was a shame, because if he tucks and runs it, he has a first down.
But again, we've been knocking him from the beginning of the season that he's tucking and running instead of actually trying to drive the ball downfield.
Yeah, and now he tries to throw the ball downfield. So by the way, like the rest of the game, he was really good at it, and they were really successful on those screens. Which, by the way, run screens, please run screens. You have 5-star receivers all over the field. Please run screens.
I will say
Hudson fumbled it, but still.
This was the first game all year where Anthony Brown ran like he wasn't a 56-year-old carpenter, like I've said, getting out of bed in Connecticut in January. Like, I got to get out of it's so hard.
Old man.
His legs were moving. He was scooting.
And he was slinging it. He really did have a great game.
He did take away those interceptions. He really did have a couple of dimes. And I know there are people that will never change their mind on Anthony Brown. None of us here think he's a top 10 Oregon quarterback in the last 20 years.
No one is saying that.
No one is saying that. But if he can throw like 3 or 4 dimes a game and not couple that with not the dumb turnovers, I mean,
Oregon's might be good.
They might be good enough to win out. I don't know.
Oregon's pretty good.
Because the thing is,
Oregon's pretty good anyways.
If you ask me, can Oregon win a playoff game? My answer is no.
I think they could.
Unless they play like a Cincinnati. They're not beating Georgia, you know, whatever. If you ask me if they can get...
They won in Columbus.
No, I know. No. Yeah. But just listen to me. But if you ask me, you know, a second story down, can they make the playoff right now? I'm like, oh, can they go 5-0 from here? I'm like, yeah, probably not. But if you ask me, well, why can't they beat Colorado, Washington, Wazoo, whatever, Oregon State, Arizona State, Utah, whoever comes? And I'd be like, well, if I look at all those five games, they're going to be favorites right now. An injury can change anything. They'd be favorites in all of them. It's just a weird team because they're not the best team we've seen from Oregon by any stretch.
No. Because you mentioned it, what injury would it take for Oregon to not be favored? And you can't say quarterback because I don't think that would do it.
Thibodeau and Sewell.
Yeah,
I don't know
much.
I don't know if a single offensive injury swinging that line.
Nope. They already had that. Like, that was Verdell. Like, Verdell going down was that.
If Dye goes down, it's kind of just pure unknown more than.
Oh, boy.
Those guys could be real good. I mean, Cardwell has, what, like 10 carries on his career? So
you give Seven McGee like 15 touches a game. That might be fun.
They
beat UCLA without being able to run the ball with a running back.
Seven McGee, he's got those live legs.
Flashes.
And like you were just saying, Ski, UCLA running the ball. We got to give credit to the defense because.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, I want to talk about them so much.
Charbonnet, Britton Brown, DTR, except for that one, you know, kind of a fluky thing where he floated the sideline, everyone slipped, and he got out on fourth down. They.
110 yards. On 45 carries. That's beautiful. Really, really good.
Really good.
Against Chip Kelly, especially. That's really good.
Especially a week after UCLA ran for like a really easy like 280 on UW. Awful on run defense.
They have run on everybody but Oregon. Oregon is the team that stopped them. And by the way, to DTR, I don't know if you noticed this, but especially when they had the lead in the first half, like that kid was talking a lot of shit. And he was talking a lot of shit to guys he should not be talking shit to. I distinctly remember him talking shit to James in his face after he ran out of bounds. And then DJ James gets two picks against him. He didn't talk shit to Thibodeau because
he's smart enough.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like nobody would do that.
Yeah. You don't poke that bull.
But I tell you what. You know, at the end of the game, who was standing? Not DTR, because you mess with a defense like Oregon has now, and you might get hurt, guys. Like
that,
Sewell and Thibodeau give me a boner. I don't care. I'll say it.
Splash.
Watching them play is erotic. I love it.
I think it was the last offensive play of the first half for UCLA when Sewell lined up on the left side, wide, and Kayvon on the right side, and they sacked DTR, and they're sitting, there's a fumble, and Sewell, they're slapping hands, and it's like, God, that is so hot.
It's so
good.
I mean, just think.
And they don't line up like that a lot, but when they do.
Oh, yeah. Imagine this defense with Flo. Oh, it's too much. It's too much to think about, you know?
Erotic. I mean, it's really, really cool.
What was that? Play it one more time.
Oh, imagine this defense with Flo.
Yeah.
Borderline erotic. I mean, it's really, really cool.
It's not borderline erotic. It's erotic. It's erotic.
Boing. Boing. Boing.
Yes. God. Thibodeau. I said it online too. Like, don't take him for granted. Like, enjoy watching him because he is the best player we've ever seen at this school. Like, I realize Oregon has a Heisman winner.
2 years ago, it was Sewell. And 6 years ago, it was Marcus Mariota. So can we just say that as much as we all hate Mario Cristobal and his awful football team, he seems to be producing football players that are pretty good.
Really good. Really,
and I know, really good. Like you were saying earlier, people on Twitter are weird and Facebook, well, Meta now, are weird about this Oregon football team. And there's a real opinion out there that people would rather be aesthetically pleasing and average as opposed to kind of ugly and winning. Listen, Texas Tech ain't producing Penei Sewell.
No.
They ain't producing Kayvon Thibodeau. They ain't producing in a year from now Noah Sewell. Like, this whole deal about I'd rather have fun watching the team lose is so weird, and we're dumb. Oregon fans, you're dumb. You're dumb.
Go away. Go away. You're not needed here. Go away.
I'd rather watch the run and shoot. Let's be Washington State.
No, I'd rather have Mike Leach as my head coach. I think we'd That's be what you're saying.
Zany and fun.
That's what you're saying. You want Graham Harrell? Get out of here. So okay, we've gone too far from Thibodeau. I'm not done yet. Okay, I'm not done yet. The erection is not gone yet. Okay, 9 tackles.
Come on, Minnie, it's time.
I got a boner, Minnie. Oh. 9 tackles, 2 sacks, 4.5 tackles for loss, 1 hurry. He took DTR, like he took DTR and UCLA out of scoring opportunities several times in that game himself. Like UCLA was in position. They were about to do something. He gets a sack.
Oh, 2 sacks, Mini.
All you need is 1. Gross. This is your fault.
Can you imagine having 2 sacks? Just the sound.
Oh God, that would hurt.
It's a lot of slapping. That would.
Like every time you walk, that would hurt. That would not be fun.
It'd be like those little things that people have like in their offices with like the row of balls and just like tink, tink, tink.
It's a bad idea on paper. It's a bad idea in execution. Nope. Not to mention sacks are just horrible. Like looking, like nobody likes looking at a sack. So everything about it is a bad idea.
Do you shave your sack?
You wish we were going to have that conversation.
No, proceed. We're not going down that route. We're not doing it.
No, we're not. Oh God. So again,
this segment was brought to you by Manscaped.
I know, right? Yeah, by the way, yes, please. If you want to advertise, please, Manscaped. I know you're listening. I don't even know where to go from here. You fucking
just slobber on Kayvon. Let's do it.
I think we already did. Do you have anything else to add about Kayvon other than he's the best player ever?
No, he's he's gross. Like it's disturbing. It's a hard watch from my standpoint. Like I love watching it, but sometimes I'm like, damn, I feel bad.
Yeah,
like the Cal game. I was like, damn. Can that they left not tackle. Just get that, that left tackle?
Was, he was having a good game.
It's a chip block from a running back.
So in the first half, before the end of the first half, they had a tight end try to block him. UCLA did. What are you doing?
Single block,
What are you doing?
And, you know, this coming week, I cannot name a single offensive player from Colorado. Not one.
Is Montez somehow still there?
He is not.
I've heard their running back is good. I don't know his name.
I think his last name might be Broussard, but I could be confusing that with someone else. But whatever. I know they have a Nate Landman on defense who is not playing, and even if he was, he would not be blocking Kayvon Thibodeau.
Right.
But I am literally Friday night, tomorrow night, I am going to sleep. I'm doing the pray to God, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray to the Lord, my soul to take. Every single Colorado fucking offensive player who has to stand in front of Kayvon Thibodeau because they're going to die.
Yeah.
They're going to die. They're going to die.
Seriously.
They're going to die. These guys are scoring like 6 points a game. And they got Kayvon Thibodeau coming towards them.
Thibodeau and Sewell. And I said, I think I texted you guys this during the game. I love how Oregon just blitzes Sewell all day. Like they don't even care. They're not even bothering like putting him in coverage really anymore. They're just sending him.
It's a waste. There's no reason to drop him in coverage.
They're doing that. And when they're in like key down situations and like short yardage plays, they blitz him and McKinley. Like, I love that too. Like blitz your best defensive players. Like,
are we becoming the DeRuiter gang?
Man, yeah. It's weird.
Bang, Tim DeRuiter gang.
Bang, DeRuiter gang. Yeah, sure. Sure. You know what? If he has these players and he's using them like this, I'm in favor.
I will say, because, you know, we were talking about earlier, Oregon, you know, Twitter is absurd.
Yeah.
And they were like, stop dropping Thibodeau. I know, I saw that on
Facebook everywhere. Right. It's everywhere. Right. Yeah.
Like, stop dropping Thibodeau into coverage. He dropped into coverage twice
the entire game, and there were back-to-back plays.
I'm not smart enough to know why they did it, but it was two times an entire game. Like, just stop.
You know, that serves two things. He is the most athletic person on the field, maybe not the fastest, maybe not the best in coverage, but if he is out in space and you're in a situation where DTR comes out in space, who do you want out there with him?
Right.
Kayvon Thibodeau or Noah Sewell?
And it's a million years ago now, but when Aliotti decided to drop Deion Jordan in coverage a couple times a game, you want to know what? It made him the third pick overall. Uh-huh. He was a bust. We want to know what? He was the third pick overall, made money. Good for him.
He showed versatility.
More than a few times a game, I think.
He
did use Jordan a lot, though.
Thibodeau, by the way, is not going to do that in the NFL.
No, like, absolutely not.
He's not.
But it's just one of those things where it's
an NFL thing as an end to maybe not drop back fully in coverage, but drop back and, you know, to bat about ball down there.
The old zone blitz thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think they do that as much anymore.
But if there's a quarterback that's mobile, you get him free in space to kind of spy a little bit too.
Though I will say, because we're talking about like dropping back, that tip that Sewell had, if he didn't tip that, I think DJ James has three interceptions on the day.
Yes, absolutely.
And that one might have gone to the house.
Yep. He was standing right in front of the wide receiver.
As much as DJ James kind of got picked on for parts of the game.
For 90% of the game?
Yeah. Well, and I will say
him and
that,
Ball Hill.
That kind of comes with the territory of sending Sewell every single play. Yeah. You know, you're putting your guys on islands and they're going to get beat. They're not Patrick Peterson, you know, they're not going to shut guys down all game long.
I think Rebus Island out there.
I feel like those are both very dated references.
Yeah, they are. Well, who's the shutdown corner now?
That's an amazing question.
I can't think of one that they got.
Ramsey.
Jalen
Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. Okay. Fair. Name another one.
I don't know if there is one.
I know, like that Marlon Humphrey guy was good last year. I don't know how good he is this year.
Wow.
Because Diggs plays safety and he just gets balls thrown right to him. So I don't know. Yeah,
is Marcus Peters even still in the NFL?
Hey, didn't he play for the Rams recently?
I think he's a Raven.
Ravens? Yeah, he was
tore
a
his ACL or something.
That was it. Yeah. So, you know. Wow. And props to James. Props to James, by the way. So he got the one pick on like Dorless tipped it, and then he dove and made a nice pick. And then the pick at the end. I mean, sure, you have the backup quarterback in there just throwing it right at the sideline, telegraphing the pass, but he jumped it. He picked it. You don't see that very often. You take it. Oregon's defense, man.
Are we, you say how Oregon fans are kind of jaded at the quarterback position. Are we kind of jaded at safety and kind of corner as well?
I mean, everywhere.
They've produced a lot of NFL talent out there.
They have. And they're getting turnovers this year. The whole defense is. Like, Oregon fans, that's the point. What I was talking about earlier, they're jaded about everything. Like, they're rooting against their team all game.
Defense doesn't sell, though.
I think our number one rooter against Oregon that we know is Gummy.
Is it? Yeah.
He's one.
And he does. Our text convos are very fuck Oregon centric on his
end. Man. Like, be happy. Be happy. Wait,
here's a question posed to you too. After that,
top 10 team, stupid.
That after that filleting of Thibodeau, if that level of player was on the offense, would you guys not be kind of losing your shit at them, kind of wasting a generational talent?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So it hasn't happened yet because Chris Paul quite hasn't gotten that guy on the offensive side yet. But if there is that guy comes in, you guys going to start chirping a little bit about
Look at this guy. Just already being a year ahead on the negativity train. God damn.
You got to jump ahead.
Can we just lose to Cincinnati in Miami Gardens on January 2nd before you do this? I mean, come on.
I'm trying to think of a guy I would put at Thibodeau's level on the offensive side of the ball in the last few years in college football, period.
Well, some LSU wide receivers.
Like Chase.
Take out quarterbacks.
I was going to say like Jamar Chase.
Jordan Jefferson or whatever.
Yeah.
Justin, whatever.
So like, 10th or 15th overall picks in the NFL draft. Well, that's what I'm trying to say is like Thibodeau's a number one pick. Like, who else is that? Like, who could be that on offense? I don't know that that's possible. I don't know. That's why I say
it's a future thing, but it's something that might come up the way he's recruiting.
All right. We need to like move on because we have things to get to.
Our Colorado analysis in 3, 2, 1.
Who are these guys?
That's when you play the cricket sound effect, right? Do you have that handy? Yeah.
All right. Again. Yeah. Colorado analysis.
Colorado analysis. 3, 2, 1.
2, 1.
There you go.
God, it doesn't end.
It doesn't never end.
Jeez.
Colorado analysis. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
I fucking hate soccer. Ah! I got nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Nothing on Colorado. All right, whatsoever.
Moving on.
I know. I really hope Oregon wins by 30. I hope they take a huge lead early and Thompson gets to play in the second half. It's not going to happen. So set your expectations. You know, human beings, like, we're all about expectations and we're all about setting things up for ourselves. And if you set yourself up to be disappointed, you're going to be disappointed. So look at the writing on the wall for this Oregon team. They're not going to win a game by 30. It's just not going to happen. And so set yourself up for that. Oregon's going to win by 10 after scoring like a late fourth quarter touchdown or something like that. And just be happy. Just be happy with it. Cause Oregon was going to be 7-1 after this week, right? There you go. Probably. And of course, now that I'm the positive guy, like, Oregon's of course going to lose to Colorado this
year.
No. 1,000%.
It is not happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, you already jinxed old Camden.
Yeah, we did. We almost forgot to talk about Cam Lewis's missed extra point. Yikes. He kicked the kickoff before that, like, out of bounds at the 30-yard line, too. Mm. Those are the two worst kicks he's done in, like, a year and a half. Then he made the kick after that and kicked it out of the end zone. So I think he's okay. What should we do now? Should we do our list or should we do bets or lines? I should say. Let's do lines.
Go lines again. All right.
Lines everywhere. Lines.
All right. So
what do we do?
Last week we have a new leader, or I guess co-leader. King won the week with 5. Braga, you had 4, so you guys are now tied. overall.
I like
and
that.
And I also had 4. I'm 5 points back.
What are our records?
I don't have the overall records. I just have total number of points.
You know, we could have the overall records if you would post them on Twitter every week.
I'm not going back through all this shit and count up all our records.
Hey, I'm trying to think of a listener who could do this. Hey, Kurt, you like numbers. Right? That's a thing, right? You want to go back and... Yeah, okay. Never mind.
All right. So, first game. Wazoo at Arizona State. Arizona State, 16.5 point favorite.
Give me the Devils.
Is this at Arizona State?
It is.
As if it makes a difference. Arizona State.
Did you guys see the crowd at in Pullman last week when they played BYU? Did you see the official announced crowd?
God, I missed that game.
It was like 21,000.
Wow. That's high, right?
I mean, Jesus. 21,000.
I'm taking the Cougs.
You would.
Points I actually chaser. Had it written down before, but at least I'm going to try to make up some ground there.
Points chaser.
All right.
Shout out to Trudy.
Next game, we got Beavs at Cal. Beavs, 1.5.
Oh, favorite. Oregon State by so much. Why is it 1.5?
Good question.
Yeah, I got the Beavs.
Their running game is so good. Like, I love watching Oregon State run the football. Like, it's one of the things I enjoy most in college football this year. Like, they're like, if you haven't seen them yet, please, like, do yourself a favor and watch a quarter. Like, their running game is so good.
Oh. Right. I got the Beavs, and the Beavs are my star pick just because.
Me too.
What you were saying there.
Me too. Yeah. Same.
All right. Next game, we got Arizona, the mighty Wildcats going to USC. USC 21.5 points.
Fuck. I'm gonna pick USC only because I read that Arizona is planning on playing a wide receiver, like multiple sets at quarterback, like Ooh. Throughout the game.
Oof. Gross.
I have a problem thinking Keaton Slovis is gonna score 21 points.
Drake London, though.
God, he's so good.
He's so good.
Imagine if he had a quarterback.
Right.
I also think USC.
Yeah. Imagine if Drake London was at Oregon. 14 catches on the year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
120 yards on the season.
Yeah.
all bubble screens.
Yeah.
All right. I'm taking USC as well. Next game, we're back to Kings Bruins. They're traveling to Utah. Utah, 6.5 point favorite.
Give me the Bruins. Even me though too. I don't think DCR is going to play.
Nope.
Bounce back for UCLA for sure. They're going to run the ball at Utah's ass.
It's kind of what I think.
Yep.
He's taking UCLA also.
Utes. Yeah, he's taking the Utes.
I got UCLA. That's just too many points.
Whoa!
What's the points again?
6.5.
6.5, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
All right. Now we got, you know, another fun game here. We got Washington going to Stanford, where Stanford is a 2.5 point favorite.
Give me the Cardinal star pick.
Ooh.
I'm picking
Tanner McKee, baby.
I'm picking my dogs. Woof. Okay. I don't feel good about that. I was going for something there. I didn't feel good about it. I'm going back on everything. I'm changing it to Stanford. Nope. Picking Washington didn't feel good. Doing the dogs thing didn't feel good.
No, are like you it. Going Stanford now? All right.
I don't like it. I'm changing it to Stanford. Yes.
Well, I'm taking Stanford also.
Okay.
This is going to be a very boring week where I'm picking the same shit.
Okay. I'll switch it up. I'll go UW.
You star pick Stanford. And now you're...
I'm not going UW.
That'd be great.
Oh, I will say, this is a tough one because UW has a really good secondary and like maybe the worst rushing defense in the nation. And Stanford might have the worst rushing offense they're going to face. So it'll be a fun little shit fest.
Oh, let's see what the over under 48.
Oh, yeah.
I might like the under in that one there.
Yeah, that feels like an under.
Yeah. All right. Our throw-in game this week, we got Michigan State. Michigan, 3.5-point favorite.
That one's in East Lansing, right?
It is, yes.
Fuck.
I still like Michigan. I've watched a lot of Michigan this year. I really like them.
Yeah, I think I'm going. But you go, Ski.
I'm taking Sparty at home.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll go Michigan then.
Lose by a field goal. Eh, I can see that happening. They muck up games too with the best of them, Sparty.
That Mel Tucker, Colorado Buffalo legend coach, yeah. Mel Tucker.
All right. And last game, Colorado at the Ducks. Ducks, 24.5-point favorite.
Woof.
I'm picking the Ducks. I'm picking the Ducks.
No way.
What was the stat you just gave of crystal ball?
I know they're I think he's 5-15 covering at home.
It's gonna be 5-16 because I'm taking Colorado.
I said ten, right?
You said 10.
Colorado. What? Yes. Colorado. Colorado with the points.
I don't see how Colorado scores, but I say that every week.
They do. But they do.
Opponents, yep. And they do.
I have seen horrible teams like Arizona score points on Oregon in Autzen Stadium. It happens all the time, even though it shouldn't.
I think Thibodeau is going to clean up a lot of that kind of bullshit.
Or Thibodeau, as Herb Street called him.
Which is, that was an insane. It's not Mariota. It's not Tungavaloa. It's not Uyunglele. It's Thibodeau. But he's a Tibadoo. Tibadabadoo-doo.
Right.
Come on, Kirk.
We should mention the soapbox that their team got on about fans booing Anthony Brown. And then literally the next pass was the first interception Brown threw.
That was very funny.
The next play. It was unbelievable. The good time. Like they even went to Holly Rowe on the sideline. He was talking about it. And then Holly throws it back up to Fowler. And the next play is an interception. And a horrible interception.
But on that note, you guys, we all saw the clip of Mario telling the fans, like,
yeah,
no more of that booing shit.
No
right?
more booing. No more booing in Autzen. I don't want to hear that shit anymore.
And because we're talking about how Oregon fans are just miserable this year beyond belief.
Yeah.
The amount of people I saw that were like, would any other top 10 coach do that to their fans? Would Mel Tucker say that to his fans? Who the fuck cares about Mel Tucker? Lane Kiffin say that to his fans? Yes.
Yeah.
Would Nick Saban say that? Yes.
Yeah.
Nick Saban has literally told the student section they suck.
He's the most red-ass coach ever. What are you talking about?
Why are we so miserable this year, Oregon fans?
I don't
get
it. Why?
Is it mask mandates? Is it just getting 5G injected into you like Nick Rolovich thinks? Like, what is going on?
Especially because, like, the season we're coming off of. Like, last year sucked.
Be happy.
This year, you get to go to games this year. Like, what are you bitching about? Your team is 6-1. Shuck's not the quarterback anymore. Remember how much you bitched about Shuck? Brown's not great, but he's not Shuck. At least he can run the ball. Like, I don't know.
He's a grandpa, but yes, he can definitely shuffle around.
He's an old man.
Yeah, he's a carpenter.
We could be.
So is Jesus, by the way.
That's how bad it could be.
King with the subtle comparing Anthony Brown to Jesus.
I'm just saying.
They're both carpenters.
They're both from Connecticut. So, you know.
Oh, shit. All right, let's do our list. What's our list?
Oh, our list is because the Colorado Buffaloes mascot, not the live animal, the mascot, which is something Oregon fans seem to really struggle with because they call the duck Puddles because 70 years ago there was a live mascot named Puddles. But the mascot for Colorado is named Chip. Yes, so your top three chips.
Top three chips. Crackle, crackle, pop. What's your three? You start.
My number three chip is Chewy Chips Ahoy.
Oh, Chewy's by far the best. Ugh.
That was actually one of mine, so I'm going to bump it out of the top three. So.
It was also one of mine. I have like a list of four.
Serious?
Yeah. I'm not getting rid of it. That's my number two. It's staying in the list. I guess they never miss, huh? You got a boyfriend. I bet he doesn't kiss ya. He gon' find another girl and he won't miss ya. He gon' skip and hit the dub like Wiz Khalifa. Oh, yeah.
We don't miss on the chip talk.
Oh, baby. The chewy chocolate chip cookies.
So good.
I can't get them. Because otherwise, so the problem with those ones, especially, is because they come in like the roll, like so the rows. Yeah. So you get the rows of them, and if I have a bag, man, I'm eating like at least a row at a time. At least I can't not eat a row of those at once. That's bad news, man. Bad news. That's like a once every 5 years thing for me, and it's a great night because they're all gone. All right, my three. It is Chip Kelly's my number three.
Ooh.
Boo. Boo. Smoke that chip pack, baby. 0-3 against Mario.
I know. He hasn't held up. I get it. He gave me some of my best memories ever as somebody who follows Oregon. I don't care. He won the Rose Bowl after like 90 years. I'm into him. Shut up. What's your three? Shut up.
All right. My number three is Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones.
I mean, any guy that has to do a little DL stint from not chewing, my kind of baseball player.
Well, I assume, and I know we've been accused of being a libtard podcast.
From the racist Braves.
You're not doing Chipper Jones the human, you're doing Chipper Jones the player, right?
Yes, obviously.
Okay.
It's only Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones.
And, Chipper Jones was there on January 6th.
Oh. All right, what's your two?
My number two is from Fixer Upper, Chip Gaines.
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, he's married to Joanna.
I don't know what that is.
Joanna Gaines.
They're big Baylor supporters, so take that how you will.
I'm going to have to Google that when we're done. I got nothing.
Oh, he's so cute. He's such a good-looking guy. Yeah. He looks very relatable.
I believe it, I guess. I can't tell when you're being sarcastic or not.
No, so. Chip. Oh, man, Chip Gaines. You've never seen Joanna Gaines?
I've heard the name, I think. No.
Have you? What's your opinion on Joanna Gaines, Ski?
A four.
In favor?
In favor of.
Yes. All right, my two was the cookies. Mm.
All right, my number two favorite chip is Ruffles All Dressed. Chips from our
up north. Go back
to Canada, boo.
Country of the north.
Yeah, boo.
Boo. This suck.
You don't like the all dressed? Oh, man.
Brown sugar, man.
I've never eaten them.
I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't even know how to get them. You'd have to like order them online or something.
No, they're at stores. We don't get the ketchup chips, which is
that's true.
I might draw the line at, but all dressed, I go for it.
All right, what's your one?
My number one chip is
Did you forget?
Yep.
Oh, we can't hear it. Oh, there you go.
Chip and Dale. There you go. Rescue Rangers.
Chip and Dale, when there's danger. Let's see. You know it never fails once they're involved. Somehow whatever's wrong gets solved. Chip and Dale. There you go. Yes. Pulled that from the back of my brain. It's fantastic. So I watched that as a kid. My daughter also went on a run watching that because it was on, it's on Disney Plus. So it's a great cartoon, King. It's good work. My number one is Sour Cream and Onion Lays. The first time I ever ate them, I ate an entire bag.
I saw them pretty good the next day.
Yeah, yeah. I was like in elementary school, so anything you eat in elementary school doesn't really matter. But my God, they're so good. I can't. That's another thing I can't have around because I'll eat all of it. So,
man. I'm trying to think of a new one because my number one was Chip from Chip and Dale as well.
Use it.
I already
it's got your number one. Food,
boy. All right, I'll keep it number one then.
Yeah. So Chip was the red nose one, right?
He was the uptight one with like the Indiana Jones hat.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The troublemaker and like the Hawaiian shirt was Dale.
Hawaiian shirt, yep.
What a rabble rouser.
Right.
How he's screwing up crimes. I couldn't. That guy probably screwed up the OJ investigation.
Definitely. I was gonna make a joke about him being like with Mark Furman, but I decided not to make that
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, let's not do that. You know?
No, I didn't do
that. That guy's problematic.
Yeah. All right.
If that guy was problematic in 95, he's definitely problematic in 2021. Yeah.
Yeah. That depends on who you ask, you know? It takes all kinds.
Trump 2024.
Right. All right, let's do trivia. Colorado trivia. I'm going to say ski starts. Ski. Which popular animated show's creators met at Boulder in 1993?
I'm going to say South Park.
That is the correct answer. Ski with the 1-0 lead. King, who is Colorado's...
I hate you.
Who is Colorado's only Heisman winner?
Rashawn Salaam.
That is also the correct answer. Ski, who is Colorado's all-time leader in passing yards and is also Colorado's leader in total yards, the only guy over 10,000 yards in that category?
Did Cordell throw for that many yards? I'm going to say Cordell.
That is incorrect.
He threw that many yards. Damn.
Yeah, your options. Eric Bieniemy, Cepho Lufau, Cordell Stewart.
Okay. Cepho Lufau. Just that is, very sad.
That is the correct answer. Over 10,000 yards.
God, that's bad.
All right. King, which active kicker in the NFL who has played 14 seasons, Colorado's career and single season field goals leader, still plays one of the best kickers in the league?
Mason Crosby.
That is the correct answer. I was going to say played tonight, but that would have given it away.
He tried to trick you by saying he's still good.
Is he from Bend, or am I getting that confused with some other kicker?
I don't know.
Look that up.
Yeah. All right, Ski. Let's see. This co-founder of Apple was expelled from Colorado in 1969 for sending prank messages to people on Colorado's terrible computers, then moved to California and built the Apple One right after it. Who is it? Co-founder of Apple.
Is it the other one, the nobody knows guy?
Oh, he's got such a famous name, dude. You're going to kick yourself. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't know the other guy's name, no.
Do you have a guess?
No, I don't even have a guess at it.
All right. Your options. I mean, you're going to get this. Your options, Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, Bill Gates.
Steve Jobs.
That's your guess?
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
What?
Steve Wozniak. Yeah. Yeah, the other guy founded Apple.
Yeah. Oh, whatever. I wasn't really listening.
Nope, clearly.
Well, did you find your Mason Crosby info you need?
Yeah, it wasn't Mason Crosby. It was some guy who went to, I think it was like Jason Hansen or something. I don't know. I'm not going to look it up any further. Play for the Lava Bears.
All right, King. Who is Colorado's all-time leader in wins as a head coach? Named Walter Camp Coach of the Year for the 89 season before they went on to win the Natty in 1990.
Bill McCartney?
Bill McCartney is the right answer. Yes. Pull that out of your ass. Nice work.
Damn. I just know him because he did like some Amway scamming stuff. That's why I know him.
Ski. During their national championship run that year, Colorado beat a team in what will forever be known as the fifth down game, where they scored a TD after being granted a fifth down on the final drive. Who did they beat in that game?
Iowa State.
Back when they were in the Big 12. Yeah, no.
State. It was the Big 8 back then, actually.
Big 8 even?
You're right, yeah.
Phillip 66, Big 8.
King, your options. Oklahoma, Missouri, or Georgia Tech?
Mizzou!
That is the correct answer. Ski, because you're King. Down. Is it King? Oh, that's right. My bad. Who is Colorado's all-time leader in rushing, King?
Not Rashawn Salaam?
Rashawn Salaam.
That is incorrect. Your option, Ski, Rashawn Salaam, Eric Bieniemy, Philip Lindsay.
Probably something stupid. It is Philip Lindsay.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
It is Eric Bieniemy. You should have got that, King. That's bad. That's bad. Ski, because you're down two. What is the name of Colorado's live buffalo mascot? I thought I was throwing you one here.
I just got chip in my brain right now.
This is embarrassing.
It's not good. There's even a saying for him.
Like, I know.
He's got like a phrase. Yeah.
I just keep getting chip. It's not. Oh my God.
Can I just end this? Can I stick the stake in his heart?
It's up to Ski.
Ralphie.
Oh, pulls it out.
I mean, he gave him like 30 seconds.
I know. All right, King. What team does Colorado play in the Rocky Mountain Showdown?
Jesus Christ. Colorado State.
That is correct, and you are the winner. Yeah. That was five. Man, run, Ralphie, run!
Like, run, Ralphie, run.
I was about to give him a little hint of you'll shoot your eye out, you know?
Yeah, right? That would have been good, actually. Last one. ESPN host grew up in Denver, graduated from Boulder, went on to host many shows, do play-by-play every weekend. Who is it?
Jacked Chris Fowler.
It is 100%
Fowler.
Look at his Instagram. That guy has a 12-pack. The guy is jacked.